So if you would turn with me to Colossians 1. Because there was an interesting conversation, one of the conversations that was had. And I want to just kind of shed a little light on it while I can here. Hallelujah. And let's start here and just give a little background first. Colossians 1, verse 13. For he, which is the Father, delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness. See, when we say it like that, sometimes we miss the point. We miss the point because when he's delivering us from the domain of darkness, that means he's delivering us out from the enemy's thumb. He's delivering us also out from our own sin. Out from our own sin, because see, it's the sin issue that begins to define so much of our life, even though we don't always understand that. Go with me to Romans 3. See, because of sin, there we live in a world, we can't really conceive what the world would be like because we haven't lived outside the world that we're in. But because of sin, we're living in a world that is full of pain and selfishness. And because there's pain and selfishness, that has an effect on our everyday life. And that has an effect on how we see ourselves. It has an effect on how we interact with everybody else and how others are interacting with you, even if you're a perfect saint and never do anything wrong. That was Roxanne. That was Kim. That's the one I really need to be sucking up to here in this moment. Yes. Hallelujah. So if we never ever sinned, sin still affects our life. Because sin is everywhere and it affects every other situation that is around us. And so in this, right here, Romans 3, that famous verse, verse 23, for it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. This is where I get to this point, that bony prophet finger at everybody. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But you see, what has happened here is what we fail to realize that when we're falling short, that's not just, sin is basically missing the mark. When we do something that's less than what we're called to. And when we're falling short of the glory of God, what we're doing is we're missing the mark of coming into what has been given to us. We're missing what was actually empowered within us at the very beginning. See, in the Garden of Eden, they were living fully within their rights to be like God. They were living in the image of God, and they were living in that image of God, and anything that we do that's less than being in the image of God is sin. And it keeps us, when we don't realize that, when we don't see that, then it keeps us from recognizing what the true gift is that we've been given. Because this little English lady, what she asked is when we were telling our testimonies, then she asked the question, well, what are we being saved from? So I want you to think about that. What are you being saved from? And yourself is a very valid thing, yes. That's a valid answer. You know, the typical answer that people are going to give is we're being saved from going to hell. Sorry, kids, plug your ears. But see, if we limit it to this, that, we're missing the point. Because what we're actually being saved from is the sin issues in our life. And that doesn't mean that you're just, everything you do is being a sinner. It just means everything that you do is affected by sin, whether you're in sin or not. We're being saved from the oppression of the enemy, because there's one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he comes after you. He's going to come after you whether you're a Christian or not, but the thing you can recognize is as a Christian, you have a right to stand up and say, you're the devourer, you're the lion that's roaring, but I don't have to answer to you. So in other words, this, when you step into this place of faith in Christ, you can step into a relationship with God that gives you a protection from that roaring. It gives you a protection from who the enemy, the devouring of the enemy. When we step in, we are stepping into a place of peace with God, because sin gave us created automatically an enmity or a hatred between you and God that had to be dealt with. Jesus dealt with it for you. And she asked the question, well, what's the difference between somebody who just walks in a lot of compassion and somebody who is saved? See, we can look and we can do a lot of things on the outside out of a heart of compassion. Even sometimes the hardest of people can have an area of compassion in their heart where they will give money to support little puppies in Asia or whatever it is, okay? There's always people who are willing to work with a natural compassion. But see, the thing that natural compassion, it will never complete the glory of God. A natural compassion will never take us into the glory of God, because reach into the glory of God, we have to have the forgiveness from God. We have to step into the place and recognize the forgiveness He's given us and recognize this gift that He's given us, so that we can become and have our heart transformed, our heart changed internally, so that the things that we're doing are no longer an external observance of law, but an internal observance that He makes aware in us. You know, my own dad could be harsh in some situations, but at the same time, and there was all these things that would come out of his own hurts and his own anger, but at the same time, he was also capable of coming up with compassion towards, you know, usually some project of somebody that came off the street who was a down and out, and he would be trying to do everything he could to help this individual. But those things happened out of a natural compassion that was in him, but it still lacked the transforming power of God for his own life, much less their life. When we step into what God has given us as a Christian, we step into a power and authority, because we get to identify ourselves. If you look in Romans 6, we get to identify with both his death and his life. His death puts to death in us the issues that keep springing up. We can, as we identify with his death, we're identifying with that which gives us authority over our own issues. But when we identify with his life, we're looking into the righteousness that we've been given by him, so that we can become, be with him and be in him. See, when you're saved, it's not just to be like Jesus, but it's to be in Jesus. That's what it means to step into, to not fall short of the glory of God. When we're in Jesus, we're no longer short of the glory. Go to Hebrews 1 with me real quick. I wish I had more time to develop this, but I let worship go because I was having fun, so. She only committed for like 4 songs, I think. The rest of it was just all on me, so don't blame her. Hebrews 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made the purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He is the radiance of the Father's glory. When we allow Christ into our life, when we come and have a relationship where we're now in him, when we come and be in him, now then we have transformed, and now we're no longer short of the glory because he is the radiance of the glory. And if he's in you, the radiance of the glory is in you. You're no longer falling short of the glory of God. The glory of God is being released through you. See, the issue is not only what we're being saved from, but also there's an issue of what we're being saved for. Because we're being saved for a reason. We're being saved for a purpose. God has instilled a purpose in you. He's called you to a purpose. He's called you, Cheryl, to speak the word. He's called you to release the word. He's called you to release the promise. He's called you to release the hope. What we see when Jesus began to encounter with, have an encounter, when someone had a true encounter with Jesus, what we see was transformation happened in their life, but that transformation led to a revelation of Christ being released out of them. When we see the woman at the well, then she had obviously been living a life of sin. She had obviously been living a life apart from God. But when Jesus encountered her at the well, he began to speak to her, and he released his heart for her and began to draw her to himself. And she, in turn, went to the city and drew all the men to him. She became an evangelist in an instant. When the demoniac was released from all those demons, he said, "Can I go with you?" And he said, "No, you need to stay here." And what we find out is that when he next comes to that region, is that the region is experiencing revival. Why? Because this demoniac's been out preaching the salvation that was available to them, the deliverance that was available to them, the freedom and the hope. In other words, if God can do it for me, if this Jesus character can do it for me, he can do it for you. So we're not really just being released, saved from something. We're also being saved for something. When the apostles were just fishermen, and these mere fishermen start to be able to do things that those who are high priests could never begin to do. I doubt there's ever a priest who walked by somebody and his shadow just healed them. See, they were being released and saved for something. But when we begin to represent the glory of God, we represent it by being in him. When his life and his life is all around us, when we begin to recognize the presence of God with us, when we recognize that we don't have to shrink back in shame, but we can stand forth in the promise no matter where we are. To me, it was a delight to be upon that ship. It's not a boat, it's a ship. They continually tell you that. When we were on that ship, it was something that every morning I would just remind myself of the presence of God that's here. I didn't have to have, a big worship service or anything else to be aware of the presence of God. I just allowed myself to be aware of the presence of God. There were some days where we weren't feeling so well, but I allowed myself to be aware of the presence of God. And so when I would go out, we would have dinner. There was a table next to us, and it was like every day there was a different couple that would sit there, and so that we can minister to them. Every day there was a different couple sitting there, and we could just speak the word, just release the hope. We don't have to testify. I don't have to tell them, I don't have to shout condemnation and guilt and shame upon them. They've got enough of that in the world. I can just show the love of God towards them and release the heart of God for them. I had a conversation with a young lady who's going to school, and there was a preacher at the school who was standing in the middle of the square in the school. I guess how it's in the middle of the courtyard. And he was just shouting at these students that they're all going to hell unless they repent and come to Jesus. See, that's just a spirit of religion. There's nothing healthy about that. There's nothing hopeful about that. There's nothing that changes anybody's life about that. Because why? It's love that draws people to repentance. It's love that changes people's life. It's love that begins to reach in and give them a hope that something can be different. When I had my first prophetic experience, the man spoke truth to me, which wasn't nice. He was speaking the truth. I knew it was the truth, but it was kind of hard. But you know what? There was something about it that released love, and it encouraged out of that love. I knew I could do better. And it gave me the empowerment to go further, to go into God, so that that moment never had to happen again. Hallelujah. God is going to release it through love. He's not going to, there's enough guilt, shame, and condemnation already in the world. That's not the way God has to operate. He wants to operate by giving you a hope for something better. And He releases that hope in you and through you. Hallelujah. So I just encourage you. I encourage you when you're out and about this week, just be open every moment. Make yourself aware as you wake up of the love of God in your life. Make yourself aware of the presence of God around your life. And as you do, as you encounter, as you're bumping up against somebody in the byways and the highways, hopefully not bumping on the highway. But as you do, make sure to share the love of God with them as you give them your driver's license and your insurance. Hallelujah. So God had me bump into you for a reason. To release a testimony. We're going to pray and all this is going to go away. Hallelujah. Be bold. It's whatever it takes. But I just encourage you this week just to know that God has not only saved you from something, He saved you for something. What He saved us from, see, because John 17:3 says that the eternal life is this. It's to know the Father and the Son. That's what He saved you for. That's freedom. Because see, what sin was doing, the issue of sin, was separating you from God. So what He saved you from is that separation that sin brought about. And He's brought you into an eternal life. And that eternal life started the moment you asked Him into your heart. When you ask Him into your heart, that's the thing that changes everything else. That's the moment that you are empowered to reach into the glory of God, to have the glory of God come around your life. And the glory of God coming around your life is going to result in different things happening than would happen for somebody who's just simply compassionate. There's some people who can be really, really good just out of their own soul. I don't understand it, but it's possible. No comments. Hallelujah. We'll move over here in this case. Hallelujah. But see, God can reach into your soul, into your heart, and release something that's never been there before. Because we're all created with a God-sized hole in us. It's a matter of will we respond. Will we hear? You know, well, you don't have to convince somebody who's murdered somebody and they're in prison for the rest of their life that they need a Savior. But the reality is, all of us are affected by the sin issue, even if we're the best person in the world. We're being affected by somebody else's sin. We need saving from that sin. We need saving and to step into the glory that God has given us. Hallelujah. So if you would, just bow your heads with me this morning. And if there's anyone who hasn't received Christ and would like to this morning, just raise your hand. So just say with me, Lord Jesus, I hear you, and I choose to let you deal with the sin issues in my life. I choose to receive your grace for a life with you. I choose to make you my Lord and Savior this morning. I choose to recognize the destiny that you put before me. So Lord, today, I receive Jesus as my Savior, the one who loves me, the one who keeps me, the one who puts me at peace. I thank you, Lord, for this moment. Carry it forth in my life. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.